book distributor. There are Ghost Anandi and Bhajan Anandi. Our Bhajan Anandi is interested in his own welfare, or he thinks that he is not competent enough to preach. Therefore, he does not go for preaching work. Swabhamukti kama. Let me look after my own affairs. Oil your own machine. This philosophy is always around. That you should be concerned with yourself, and that all this emphasis on going out and undergoing a little austerity to try to present the message of Krishna consciousness, that is kind of artificial. And if you are going to do it, you should wait till it comes out of you naturally. You should wait till the day when you're laying in bed, and one day you just naturally float off the bed into the air, and your sankirtan bag automatically comes onto your shoulder, and out you go into the street. We should understand that kind of misunderstanding will always be there. At the same time, there is the truth of Krishna consciousness, and we should try for that truth. As Prabhupada says here, the other stage is a devotee taking all risk, preaching for the benefit of the whole human society. It is called Ghoshyanandi, increasing the number of devotees. That is preferred by Krishna. It's too warm in here for everybody. Bhagavad Gita says, Yaidam paramanguyam mad bhaktesh swabhidasyati. Anyone engaged in preaching this confidential science is most dear to me. So if you want recognition by Krishna very quickly, go on preaching Krishna consciousness. So that's why you do sankirtan. You want recognition from Krishna very quickly. After all, we came to be Krishna conscious. So we're interested in how to please Krishna quickly and most thoroughly. That's the reason why you go out on sankirtan. Some devotees, they go out in sankirtan, they have a material propensity for being able to talk to people, relate to people, like a salesman. They like it at first, be able to go out and kind of mix with the people and show your stuff, show how personable and charming you are. And it's nice getting the people to buy books. But that motivation is not enough to allow you to continue. Other devotees, they have a very difficult time going out. They're shy, they're withdrawn. They came to Krishna consciousness to get away from the crazy material world, and now they're sent out into the world. And so they have a difficult time. But why do they do it? Because they want to be recognized by Krishna. They understand that Krishna consciousness means to please Krishna's senses. So that's what makes up a sankirtan devotee. He or she wants to please Krishna's senses very quickly and thoroughly. And for that reason, one tolerates so many inconveniences. Some days your body doesn't feel good. Some days your body feels good, but your mind is driving you crazy. Some days the weather is bad. Some days everybody you meet, faculty, gives you a hard time. So, these things go on. Yet, a devotee tolerates them for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna's pleasure is a fact. If you can actually realize that Krishna's pleasure is a fact, then you'll have the most solid foundation for spiritual advancement. Krishna consciousness won't be theoretical for you anymore. Sometimes some of the things devotees talk about are so theoretical and so what if this and what if that. But if you actually, especially early in your devotional career, get a taste that Krishna's pleasure is factual, then that will carry you through all ups and downs of this world. So that's why somebody goes on sankirtan, because they want to give pleasure to Krishna. They want to be recognized by Krishna. And how do you get Krishna's recognition? By pleasing a devotee of Krishna. Mother Yasoda, she bound up Krishna with their love. Everyone's trying to capture Krishna, yet Krishna was captured himself by Mother Jasoda. So we are all running after the devotee of Krishna, shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That is the version given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishna se toma, Krishna jite para. I'm Krishna, you are the property of your devotee. I'm simply running after the devotee, shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is an essential point of our philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness that we like to forget. Even when Prabhupada was physically present, the same questions you hear now were asked then. I remember being in California. That was the birthplace of all sorts of non-essential approaches to Krishna consciousness. Los Angeles was even known back in the early 70s as Los Angeles. So I remember hearing these same points that I hear today, but they just get packaged a little differently due to slightly different times, but the same thing. And in both situations, everyone's forgetting the main point. That is, Krishna is the property of his devotee. And we're trying to please the devotee, and in that way please Krishna. That is the essence of Krishna consciousness, and we can't change that. So if you want recognition by Krishna, very quickly go on preaching Krishna consciousness. Actually, you can open the window. Even if it's imperfectly done, because you are sincere, whatever capacity you've got, if you preach, then Krishna will be very much pleased. So not everybody has the material abilities to go out and talk to people, shake their hands, or make some small talk. But that's not the point of bhakti. The point of bhakti is, however, whatever ability you have, you just try to please Krishna. Do you think Krishna is impressed by your material talents? Not at all. Krishna already has everything, but he's looking for your love. And how is love shown? By sacrifice. So, someone who has no ability materially and goes out and just sells one book a day could be pleasing Krishna more than someone who goes out with all sorts of material abilities and sells 20 books. Krishna looks at the effort. Of course, that doesn't mean you go out and you don't try and you sell one book and then say, oh, Krishna's pleased the same as, you know, somebody who went out and really tried and sold 20 books. No, you have to be giving your full effort. That is very important. So Prabhupada gives one of his favorite examples. In my Guru Maharaj's day, the paper Dainika Nadia Prakash was published daily, just like later I was publishing Back to Godhead. This Guru Maharaj was, Bhakti Sultan Prasad Thakur was putting out a daily newspaper. And if a small brahmachari would go to Navadvip and sell a few copies, one paisa a copy, that would be taken as great preaching by Guru Maharaj. Oh, you have sold 5 copies. Very good. And 1 paisa a copy. Yeah, a paisa. Like less than a penny or something? Right. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was satisfied if someone just went out and really tried and sold a few little ordinary newspapers for a few pennies. Because people are so reluctant, they are not at all interested in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we become very much gladdened when we see that some of our books are sold. They will read and be benefited. This is the mission of a high-class Vaishnava, how to preach Krishna consciousness among the suffering humanity. That is the purport of this verse spoken by Prahlada Maharaj, and we are following in the footprints of Prahlada Maharaj. Never mind, even if it is imperfectly done, we must execute the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yadi Deko Tahe Kuru Krishna Vadesh. I may not be expert in delivering the message of Krishna, but my duty is to try my best to distribute this knowledge to humanity. So that's what I was seeing when I was at the square. I saw you all. Maybe you weren't so-called expert, but everybody was trying. And that's what pleases Krishna. Just to go out and try to educate people, to enlighten people. It's a spiritual affair. It's not subject to material calculation. You don't know how the results will be. Krishna can empower anybody. Some people seem to have no discomfort on Sankirtan. They can easily talk to people. Other devotees really struggle. It's such an ordeal to go out there and talk to people. Krishna is looking at who is trying the hardest. And when you're a Sankirtan devotee, when you go out and try to distribute books, you're face to face with the essence of Krishna consciousness. Why am I doing this? This is not an activity I would choose ordinarily to do, but why am I doing it? When you're a Sankirtan devotee, you're right up against the wall of reality. I am doing this because Krishna is the enjoyer, to please Krishna. Krishna is the property of his devotee. If I can please the devotee, then Krishna will be pleased. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Just like this morning I was having a mock argument with Hamayatma. And just like so many people were asking me questions the other night. So I took their part. Hamayatma was presenting Krishna consciousness as it is. And I was saying, look, you're being fanatical. Everyone has their own right to decide what Krishna consciousness is. And everyone has their own right to make it their own way. So after a while, he just said, oh, this is too much. He just stopped. Because, yes, that philosophy can seem to be very powerful. No need to try hard now. I told him, oh, in a few years, you'll be married and have a house with little kids padding around. And so, since that'll be the case, why don't you just give in now? Why get all riled up now, trying to be a book distributor, trying to be a brahmachari, a brahmachrini, or even a householder who's dedicated to preaching? Why try to be that? You can become Krishna conscious in your own way. You have a picture of Prabhupada on the wall. You offer up all your food. What's the problem? Of course, any little attempt that somebody does in Krishna consciousness is wonderful. But the fact is, Narottam Das, of course, says, Chodiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Paija Keva. Who do you know who's ever achieved freedom from material existence without the mercy of a Vaishnava? So we are trying for the mercy of a Vaishnava. That's why we go out and preach. There are good days and there are bad days, but we do it. Because we want to realize Krishna, and Krishna is realized when his devotee is pleased. It's that simple. So Prabhupada goes on speaking here. We have to learn some toleration, although there will be some pain. That is called tikshava. Yes, sometimes it's not easy, but when you think about it, so many times in your life you've endeavored, you've struggled for things that weren't easy, or things that were difficult, or caused some inconvenience. But for your own sense gratification, you struggled on. Certainly we can at least offer a little bit of that effort to Krishna. I know, I'll be honest, in my own case, when I became a devotee, I was in the temple for 3 weeks before they sent me out on full-time sankirtan. And it was, what a battle it was. I remember going to university campuses as a new bhakta, and I remember one time just crying. Oh, I hate this. I hate it so much, but at the same time, I was determined to love it. Because I just kept reading that Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. I like this service the most. So I hated it. I hated going out there. I hated approaching people. But as equal as I hated it, I was determined to love it. So this is a battle that consumed my whole existence. Oh, to talk to people. And trying to get them to sell books. I didn't have kind of like a snappy salesman kind of attitude. I was kind of quiet and I liked preaching in the temple. Sunday feasts come around, I'd be very active preaching, and actually I didn't notice it then, but when I look back, I realized some of the vicarious grace, a lot of persons seem to become devotees due to our talking, but at the same time I was preoccupied with this battle. Prabhupada loves books, I've got to shoot books. So, they used to call me the hard luck kid, because I would go out every day, wouldn't do anything. One book here, one book there. Bhagavati and I used to go out, he can confirm all this. Yeah. Sometimes I was even the party leader, even though I would practically do nothing. And I was just, for 2 years, just, it seemed like utter pain. All the big gun book distributors would come into New York and give inspiring lectures, and they just go out the door in bliss and just, it seems so easy for them, just passing the books like, hey, man, how you doing? Take this book, and just so easy and natural. I would go out and try to imitate, hey, how are you doing? Nothing would happen. I would just lament, oh Krishna, why does everybody else get a chance to do other services and not me? What I didn't realize was I was the one who was putting myself in this situation. It's not everybody was taking Prabhupada's, mission that seriously. Some new devotees are just going to be, I don't have to do a lot of sankirtan. I can hang out in the kitchen all day pretending to do something. I can do this, that. But I somehow had Krishna's mercy upon me. I really thought that, this is the only thing for me to do. So, I would see the other devotees having a nice life at the temple, good prasad around all the time. As soon as the maha offering comes, comes off the altar, poof, they're right there, always talking about Krishna in the hallways. No pressures, not meeting any gross materialists. Just nice life. What I think the Krishna counts for, a nice life. Why am I having to go through this struggle? But Prabhupada says he loves this service. I've got to learn to love it. So my whole life became consumed by this desire. I have to learn how to love sankirtan. My spiritual master loves it. I have to learn to love it. So month after month, I went on like this. And then, 2 years from when I started, one day, during Christmas time, I went out to a shopping center, and I just, that day Krishna decided to show me who the doer is. I remember I opened the trunk, he called the boot, opened the boot of my car, and I said, okay, I'm going to do just like the big guns, just like your Ferrari. What they do, even when they're loading their book bag out of the boot, when someone walks by, they just immediately stop them and start selling books. I'm going to do that. I'm going to really pretend I'm a big gun today. So I did it. I pulled out a big hardcover Krishna book. Those were like the Mercedes Benzes of books then. Big hardcover, beautiful pictures. I pulled out the book and the person took it. Previous to that, I always sold small books. And every once in a while, I would sell a Bhagavad Gita. But I would always sell small books. The highest I would get, the biggest I would get, was a trilogy, Krishna trilogy. Today I started immediately with big books. I'm going to break into the big time. At least I'm going to pretend I'm going to do it. So the person took the book. Oh my God, what's happening? Okay. Then another person walked by. I pulled out a book from the booth, gave it to them. That person took the book. Then another person went by and took the book. And so, wow, this is really amazing. Then I loaded up my book bag. I went into the mall. And everybody was taking these big books from me. By the time I got to my 15th hardcover Krishna book, which is considered to be, really breaking into the big time, then, I just was just stunned in ecstasy. I thought, there's no way I can think I'm the doer. This has to be Krishna. There's no way that in any way, shape, or form I can speculate to think this has something to do with me. All these things. I was just stunned in the beginning of spiritual ecstasy. It was this monumental moment. So I went on And then by the time the evening was over, I distributed 35 hardcover Krishna books. So when I got back to the temple in the evening, everyone was just astonished. They knew it had to be Krishna too. They couldn't believe it. What came over you? You've never done anything all these years. And I was just in total ecstasy. I entered into my good friend. At last, I entered the spiritual world. So, of course, then everyone was waiting to see would this just be a one-day affair. Then I went out every day after that and kept doing the same thing. And of course, the devotees were ecstatic, because they could see, Lord Chaitanya's mercy does exist. So, that was a great lesson to me, that simply you try your best to please Krishna, and when Krishna wants, Krishna will turn the switch on, Krishna will give you the potency. But Krishna is pleased just by your efforts. Then later, I began to realize that actually, although I wasn't thinking about it, a lot of persons who I met on Sankirtan became devotees. They're still around today. But you see, I was so absorbed in my lamentation of not being able to distribute a lot of books, I never noticed it. And I just, everybody who's a big shot distributing books, lots of books, I can't do it. I wasn't noticing how Krishna was reciprocating. The point is, you may be having difficulty now, but if you just go out and try to do it, please Krishna, please Prabhupada's devotee, then you don't know what Krishna will do for you. It's sincerity, hard work, and devotional service that attracts the mercy of the Lord. So all we're required to do is to try our best. And you're immediately getting at the essence of Krishna consciousness. The pleasure of somebody else. And that's what we don't like. That's the austerity. Doing all this for somebody else. But that is the door to understanding Krishna. Yes, people are reluctant. Yes, they've seen you so many times. Yes, they're walking away from you sometimes. Oh, actually, comparatively, they're quite nice here, even in the square compared to other places. But it's a privilege to be able to go on Sankirtan. It's a great privilege. Don't ever take it lightly. I remember, this is a very, actually, very monumental time in the New York Yatra, New York Temple. All at one time, let's see, besides my incident itself, many great devotees joined all at the same time. Sadaputta, Vipralokya Swami, Dravida, Chandramali Swami. About eight devotees all came at the same time. He was always there. He was like our father in the beginning. So everybody just tried to go on Sankirtan for the pleasure of their spiritual master, whether you liked it or not. And everybody needs spiritual advancement, which is why we come to Krishna consciousness. So what Prabhupada is writing here, it strikes at the root of a disease that's always around. Think of yourself, Prabhus. You don't have to go through all this. It's not necessary to be in so much anxiety and try so hard just to please Krishna. That's always been around. But Prabhupada wanted more than just neophyte devotees. If someone's a neophyte devotee and wants to remain that way, well, that's better than nothing, but we don't want to be worried about criticizing. At the same time, we want to advance, and spiritual advancement means the pleasure of somebody else, the pleasure of Krishna as coming through the super succession. When you think of how these people are suffering, how they know nothing, although they think they're so intelligent, surely it wrings your heart. And you want to try to do something about it. So that's why you go out in Sankirtan. Also because of this deep compassion. And you'll notice that the devotees who take it seriously, they're the most fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Of course, if you take any service in Krishna consciousness seriously, you'll become fixed up. But Sankirtan is the quick and easy way to do it. Quick and easy in that all you have to do is do it. It's difficult in that it seems so austere. But you all know, even new devotees, I know you've all had experiences. At some moments you're in the spiritual world. Just showing someone a book. And that's what keeps you on. You've got a taste. Even as a young devotee, you've got a taste of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Some moments you can really see very clearly the illusions of this world. You see the whole street of people just lost in a fog of ignorance. You can see that. And then you're very thankful. Oh, how fortunate I am not to be like that. And have no doubt, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to do it, if you just try. It cannot be materially understood. You just go out and do it, and then Krishna will increase your intelligence more and more. So you may be thinking, now we're going out in the square every day, we're struggling. Isn't there some better way to do this? Krishna will reveal. But Krishna reveals by your going out and dealing with what you have now. Certainly we want to understand we're not the body. Certainly we want to conquer over lust, envy, and greed. Certainly we want to become enlivened with Krishna conscious knowledge. Well, here's the way. So, if I can go on with the autobiography of my foolish self, I was enjoying for 3 months after this in Vaikuntha every day going out at the same time. And I would just float out the door because I had struggled for 2 years to attain the supreme destination. 2 years doing nothing through freezing winters. I suppose freezing winters are like temperatures. I don't know how you change Fahrenheit to centigrade, but you know, 13 degrees Fahrenheit. That's I don't know. Is that minus 10 centigrade? And we could only wear plastic shoes. Minus 10, we were wearing plastic shoes, or your feet would be like ice. And we didn't find out until months later that Prabhupada said in cold Western countries, you know, devotees could wear leather shoes. So we were wearing these plastic shoes. So cold, and what's that?
Minus 10 Celsius.
Yeah. So, and to go out on a day like that and do nothing. Or one or two books. So I was so happy. And some other Krishna turned on the switch. And whenever I would see somebody, some sanctum devotee who was growing weary, I would say, you don't know how fortunate you are to have this service. And it used to surprise me. I couldn't figure out. Devotees who had kind of a material ability for going out all the time and meeting people, they were growing weary of sanctum. I couldn't believe it. I said, come on. You've been doing 20 books a day for a year. How could you not like this? You've got to be crazy. I've been trying all my life to get to this point, so to speak. 2 years of hard labor just to come up to where you are, and you don't want to do it anymore? I couldn't believe it. Yeah, of course. As I began to understand the philosophy more, I realized that it's the motive that counts. So I enjoyed for 2 months, and then I got real sick. I remember laying on the floor of the temple coughing all day and then going out for 2 hours, coming back and laying on the temple and coughing the rest of the day. And this went on for weeks, and all the devotees would tell me, you're not going to be able to do this service anymore. You should find another service. I refuse to take another service. Yeah. All the other services, they're just, this is a young devotee being a bit fanatical, you know. I mean, the motive was sincere, but just, you know, I mean. And other devotees would tell me, you know, you have to change. You can't go out like this and still out or just go out for 2 hours and come back and cough all day and night and cough all the next morning. And I remember my last full day of Sankirtan. I was standing in the middle of a bus terminal, a huge bus terminal in New York City, and somebody was walking 1 meter away from me, and I had to pray intensely to Krishna, please give me enough strength to cross this distance of 1 meter to offer this person a book. And then the person took the book, took a hardcover Bhagavatam, and then I just knew, that's it for me. I can't go on anymore. So then, anyway, simultaneously it turned out that Prabhupada needed editor's first book, so I guess Krishna might have had a plan, but ever since then I always tell Sankirtan devotees, get it while you can, take this opportunity while you got the strength, because you don't know, maybe all your life you're able to go out, maybe a few years, but if you just give all you've got, while you have the chance, it's the most wonderful education, it's the most wonderful service. I was talking with Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj, you know, we were discussing the old days, and he was saying how when he was always distributing books in England as a young devotee, and then he went to India, and Prabhupada was always very demanding that he needed somebody to manage in India. So as soon as he saw Prabhu Vishnu Swami, he was a Brahmachari, then he said, anybody from the UK especially, probably, if you showed up in India from a Commonwealth country, probably would latch on to you because that, you could get a long visa, whereas Americans couldn't stay in India at that time for long. So, probably latched on to him. So, how would you, you're going to come here and manage? And Prabhupada said something, I'd like to distribute books. Well, you know, you just manage some and then we'll see. all devotees, you know, we love to distribute books. Simply, it's just that for the purpose of the Sankirtan movement, you know, we have to do other things to please Krishna. But everybody loves and still loves to distribute books. They may not have the help for it, they may have so many other duties, but still everybody loves, you know, book distribution. So my advice to you is, you know, party while you got the chance. if you get to do it all your life, how fortunate you are. Those are my measly personal realizations. I somehow was able to make it for an hour and a half in the square this week, and that was the topmost moment of my week. I went out the next day and I couldn't practically move, so I had to retreat to Food for Life and try to sell books there and meet people there. But anyway, that hour and a half I was out there, that was for me, it was just the topmost experience. Just to be able to try to distribute Prabhupada's books, to be able to be with the devotees and try, that was such a rare. Actually, I'll be honest with you, you don't know what I have to go through just to have the help to go out there for an hour and a half. 2 years of hatha yoga and tai chi, all these things. I was always thinking about doing hatha yoga and tai chi, one day I'm going to build myself up and I'm going to be able to stay out there all day. So, my point is, never take it cheaply, this opportunity you have. It's difficult some days, yes. Of course, some days you'll just float in ecstasy, and you all know that. Some days Krishna just shows you what's really going on. Even new devotees, new bhaktas, some days you see what's happening. Other days, you feel like you're totally covered over and just, I hate this. I'm going to go back to the temple. I want to go to the restaurant. So yes, you may feel like that, but that's showing your love by continuing onwards. And who knows who you'll meet? Especially here in Christ Church, the people are so nice. Of course, you don't know. Generally, most of you think that's the way it is. You know? They're so nice here. They talk to you. So you can just talk about Krishna. You can have a conversation with people. If they don't take it this time, they're going to see you again and again and again. They might as well get to know you. You're not going to give up. They might as well, you know, get to know who you are. let me see, you tell me. You'll be seeing a lot of me. We'll get to know each other, you know. Maybe after the 13th time you meet me, you'll take a book. No problem. I'll be around. If not me, someone else will, you know. If I'm traveling, someone else will be here in my spot. Let's get to know each other. Part of life to know your local Hare Krishna devotees. And then, when you feel the pleasure of Krishna's devotee, oh, nothing can compare to that. To know you've pleased Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representative, oh, that easily makes up for all the austerity. And that's what Krishna wants to do. You're singing every morning. Yasya prasada, bhagava prasada, yasya prasada, nagatita kauti. So, a Sankirtan devotee has to ask himself or herself, do I want to be a ritualistic devotee, or do I really want to be a practitioner of Krishna consciousness? Do I want to be just one who's adept at all the externals, like a smarta brahmana from India, like, you know, you know all the little rules and regulations and how to act like a very good Hindu, but the essence of bhakti is surrender. You avoid that like a plague. Sankirtan is the most wonderful way how to penetrate into the essence of Krishna consciousness. And soon you begin to mold your whole life so that you'll be able to be in best shape for Sankirtan. You eat so you'll be in the best shape. You sleep so you'll be in the best shape. You talk so that you'll be in the best shape. Everything is focused on how to live so I can please Krishna, please Krishna's devotee by taking up this mission. Just like a soldier or an athlete molds his or her whole life for the main event. In the case of a soldier, the battle. In the case of an athlete, the sports competition. And this way, you become focused. That's what we want to do. We want to become focused. And as Prabhupada quotes Krishna saying here, those who are preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita, facing many difficulties, Krishna says, nobody is dearer to me than he. So if you want to become very quickly recognized by Krishna, then every one of you become a preacher of Krishna consciousness. We can go on further to here. These boys are going on the Sankirtan party because they are Krishna conscious. It is not that they are sitting idly in this temple. They are going outside preaching this philosophy so that others may take advantage of it. A Krishna conscious person cannot sit idly. He thinks, such a nice philosophy of life. Why should it not be distributed? That is his mission. And the Prabhupada goes on to talk about Jesus Christ, how he was crucified. Therefore, a preacher is the dearmost devotee of the Lord. They go outside. They preach. They meet opposing elements. Sometimes they are defeated. Sometimes disappointed. Sometimes able to convince. Not that every devotee is well equipped. So, any questions, comments? You are the ones who are doing such wonderful service. I'm just trying to get some inspiration from you all.
Yeah. I've heard it stated that one of Percy, the ultimate purpose of performing the distribution is that you need to be a spiritual master. I've also heard it stated that the service is like a training in consciousness to have a new question constantly. Sometimes we can be out there performing our service and we find our mind in the centers of somewhere else. And quite often I find a question that comes to me is it a better utilization of time to go and try and get my consciousness right, or is it a better utilization of time to keep going I hope that my consciousness will come out.
The best thing is to keep going and pray that your consciousness will come around. Because you've already been to Mangalarthik, you've chanted your 16 rounds, you've heard Bhagavatam class, you've taken prasad. That is enough. So you should try to keep on going. Begging Krishna, please allow me to focus. You are the master of this illusory energy. Please make an arrangement so I can go on with this service. I'm just trying to please you. And if some or other you absolutely cannot, then maybe you might find it to help to read a bit or chant a bit. But the service in of itself has what you need. That's the important point. Within that service, there is the potency to carry on that service. You just have to beg Krishna for it. My dear Lord, please allow me to see the unlimited potency of this service, how it's got all I need to keep on going. That realization, you have to get sooner or later. I mean, you know, to be a sanctioned devotee, your sadhana is sharp. You've done what you're supposed to have done that morning. You've been reading, you've done your amount of reading time, gone to the morning program. So you beg Krishna, let me see you in this service. Let me be sustained by this service. For me, my whole motto was, I remember one devotee, one big book distributor, always saying, you know, feel at home on Sankirtan. So my prayer to Krishna was always, I'm going to feel at home on Sankirtan. I'm going to feel like I'm in my own backyard, so to speak. And that goal it took me years to do. I had other projects too. And Prabhupada said, if you want to preach all over the world, you learn the science of Srimad Bhagavatam, and everywhere you go, you can preach. So I also was working on that too. You have to have all these different goals, you know, to get out of Maya's grip. And of course, you know, to please your spiritual master. So I was developing a multi-level, strategy. The main thing was I wanted to distribute books. And of course, to distribute books, you have to know the books. So I learned the books. And the Prabhupada was saying, if you would learn these books, you could go anywhere. And people will listen. Preachers have life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to have, those who have life, they preach. So, any man or woman can do this. Come alive with knowledge. Who wants to be caught in religious theory? What a bore. We want to see the life, experience the life of Krishna consciousness. That means giving our life to Krishna. So Sankirtan is a challenge. Do you want to give your life to Krishna? So my advice to you all is, while you have the health, go for it. Maybe Krishna will bless you and allow you to go on like that, for many decades. Maybe you can only go on like that for a few years, but give it your all in all, and then you'll certainly be able to do wonders for the world. There's no doubt about it. Don't be selfish. Now, at the same time, there are going to be devotees who they just want to take it easy in Krishna consciousness. They feel it's enough of the sacrifice of their chanting 60 rounds and going to Mangalarthik, trying to follow regular principles. That's enough of a sacrifice. So you don't criticize them, but at the same time, we want to try for the mercy of Krishna as coming through the Supa Succession. And actually, you want to associate with those who are trying in that same way. Whether you're ladies or men, you want to associate. You like to associate with others who feel the same call of reality. And that way you stay in line. Otherwise, if you're always hearing, I try so hard, just take it easy. No need to go through all these austerities. The sound vibration will affect you. Unless you're strong enough to say something proper in return. So that's why Sankirtan devotees are a little bit in their own world, a little bit. I'm not talking about being fanatics, but it's an occupational necessity that they're a little bit elite. In that they've got very serious work to do, and they know they've got to keep themselves in shape. Any questions? Well, don't grade on anybody. Don't grade on devotees. The fact that they're engaged in devotional service, that's very wonderful. Yes, as we're reading Prabhupada's own words, he's saying what he likes the best. What is the best way to realize Krishna? To be this outgoing, preaching type of devotee. So it's nice that you're encouraging them, but at the same time, you can't be attached to the results. Just like when you go out with books, you can't be attached to the results. When you preach to devotees, you cannot be attached to the results. The main thing is, you yourself have to be trying to follow your own advice. Not that, I hate going out and saying good time, so why don't you also go out and, you know, share the misery. If there's some that kind of motive there, then, you know, you won't be that effective. So most of our efforts are on ourselves trying to realize Lord Chaitanya's presence, our spiritual master's presence through Sankirtan. And then when other devotees see how happy you are, naturally, some of them are going to be attracted. Some of them won't. Some of them will. There's nothing as contagious as when devotees see that it's possible to make spiritual advancement. Oh, that one's doing it? I thought she was face down, and that was the end of it. Now she's so fired up. Maybe I can do it too. That's how it works. Look at this guy. He was a new bhakti just 2 weeks ago, and now he's just totally absorbed in preaching. Maybe I can do it too. Haven't you all seen situations like that? So? Shows you. These things can happen. Yes? Hear your rounds. Do you take chanting the Hare Krishna very seriously? Or do you do conversation japa? You know, chant a little bit and talk a little bit. Or action japa, chant a bit and start, you know. Sleeping japa. Chant very attentive japa. That's the best way to increase your service in quantity and quality. People's bodies are different. Devotees' bodies are different. You're going out every day, so you need strength. You're going to be awake enough to chant your words. But if you're going to, I know a lot of the boys like to talk at night. Yeah, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You know, everybody starts talking. The things they talk about are so important. So it may be that you have to sacrifice and exempt yourself from these very important conversations and just get to rest, get to go to sleep early. I have to do that. If I'm not asleep by 8:45 at the latest, 9 o'clock is really cutting it close. I know it's going to be tough the next morning. It's an austerity. You know, it has to be performed to get the right amount of rest for Christmas service. So you have to tell your fellow devotees. Girls, I'd love to talk to you about the latest important things, but I'd love to hear about your latest moves. And sorry, I got to take a rest. Chanting is the most important thing. But you're looking better since we saw you often. It's a good word. Yes.
I should be as your mother when I learn book this week.
To please Krishna through the simple succession. That is the motive.
And if there's another motive, then...
Then don't go out.
No.
You'll be purified. If you have another motive, you'll be purified because Sankirtan is the Maha cleaner. So even if you have material desires, go on Sankirtan and get purified. Especially you know, if you live a full life, you've got so many years ahead of preaching. So just work hard to form yourself now into a full-fledged preacher. And certainly, by learning how to distribute books profusely, it may take you some time, may not, I don't know. Maybe it'll take you 2 days, maybe it'll take you 2 years, but learn that art and you can do Prabhupada's movement. It's such great good. Everybody likes to run their mouth, I know. Everyone likes to preach. I remember Prabhupada saying, "Preach, preach, preach! Everyone always talks about preaching. Why don't they distribute my books and let me preach?" So these are the kind of things Prabhupada would say that would keep us going. So here in New Zealand, you have a wonderful opportunity, a country with a small population, to distribute books and cultivate people at the same time. So take that up very nicely. Once again, just realize what you're doing. The potency is in what you're doing. The service, the very service you're doing, is nourishing. You don't have to run away from it. "Oh Krishna, please enliven me to do this misery." You can beg Krishna, "Please let me see the real nature of this service I'm doing." Well, you know how to get what you want, I know that. So you use that for Krishna. Use your intelligence and your cleverness to arrange that you can be a wonderful distributor of Krishna's mercy. Use your intelligence to arrange your life in that way. Every Sankirtan devotee very quickly develops, you know, the X-ray vision. Make plans to please Krishna. Be very competent about pleasing Krishna. Take that as your life and soul. Wish the Lord bless you. Don't have any doubts. We have abilities. We have drive and determination. That's what I'm referring to. You give that to Lord Chaitanya and you'll be astounded at the results. Yes?
I don't know, Maharaj, what level of austerity will be conducive for our spiritual life.
Well, that's why we have the Association of Devotees. We have Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's representatives. It's not a mysterious thing. It's not a complex, subtle thing.
I find it interesting.
Well, are you listening to?
Yeah, I find it give general guidelines, but I mean the specific things I seem to understand at first that they may be beneficial, but then I'm not able to keep them up.
Like what, for example? Not eating a carrot cream pie every day?
Well, maybe, yeah, and that...
I'm just joking.
No, in that regard, avoiding certain foodstuffs that appeal to sense gratification, and rising at a certain time. Things like that, you know, which aren't exactly...
Well, you do, I mean... You mean whether you should get up at 10 or 4 or 4 or 5?
4 o'clock, but I mean 4 o'clock is generally the bedtime for a person living in the temple, right?
I mean, sometimes I also have these questions, should they get up at 10 or 4 or 4 or 5? So, you mean things like that? Well, how do you say? Seems to be 4 o'clock at the latest, right?
Then go to the latest.
Does that sound like a loving offering to Krishna? To sleep as much as you can whether you need it or not?
Well, that's what I want to find out. What's the right thing to do?
I think that those kind of questions about eating and sleeping and life, brahmachari lifestyle questions, I think Amyatma is more than qualified to give you guidance in that. It's not that, you know, not that you have to see if the devotee is dancing with Krishna or Rasa before he can tell you, you know, you should sleep less or sleep more. That's kind of puffed up to think that way, you know. I think that you're, you know, in this temple you have an example of a good brahmacharya, so you find that's how everybody learns. Oh, you should sleep more or you should sleep less. You should eat more or you should eat less. These things aren't esoteric, confidential mysteries. You know what I mean? It's a question of whether you want to be submissive about it or not.
I find some austerity I can't handle.
Like what, for example?
Like rising at a certain time and taking a cold shower.
Are you sick?
No.
If I take a cold shower, and I like cold showers, every once in a while I try to take one. If I take one, I lose all my body heat and I collapse. I can't stand for jealous. So, I like to, and every once in a while I try just to make sure I'm not faking it. Same thing happens every time. But that happens when you take a cold shower.
Is it this type distasteful skin sensation that it feels like?
Very eloquently said. Distasteful skin sensation. Then you should, be very happy taking cold showers, knowing you're going to be freed of attachment to these skin sensations.
So then, should we endeavor to give ourselves this time?
You should endeavor to please Krishna through the simple succession and do everything necessary to accomplish that goal.
That will help us.
That is the perfection. Mm-hmm. Mold your life to be a pleaser of Guru and Krishna. Don't live for yourself.
Then I'm wondering, do we find a balance where maybe you take a warm shower, so you're not in the shower for sense gratification, and you're not there to torture yourself either? Or do we give ourselves at this time?
If you take a warm shower, will you go out on Sankirtan every day?
I don't see it now.
Then I have no comment. Fair enough. You go out every day and these things will come. No, I didn't say you could. I didn't, don't go. There is no reason I can take a warm shower. I just said, no comment. You got that?
Yeah.
If you go out every day, then as far as my incident is concerned, I have no comment.
But I'm just wondering.
Is that okay on the outline? That was. I don't want to quote him. He's saying, I didn't say you could, but I said, no comment if you go out and say about it every day.
Just wondering maybe from your personal experience, you have some idea of what could be conducive and what may not be, practically speaking.
I have to tell you the truth. That, as far as I can see, I don't see what everybody's doing every moment, but if you want to know how to be a good brahmachari, then you follow Amayatma's advice, follow his lifestyle. I don't see whatever he's doing, but as far as I can see, that's the best example. And don't trouble yourself about these things. You see someone who's setting a good example, you try to follow. You ready? That's how we all did it, you know? The senior brahmachari, we tried to follow. Isn't that humility? Why try to reinvent the wheel every year? Anything else over here, understand? One idea I had, which Nathan and I were discussing, was that since these people in the square have seen you so many times, they think, I don't know that they'll be seeing you many times more in the future. What we did in New York when to overcome that situation, we started giving out Ludlum Prasad to anybody who engaged in a nice conversation with a devotee, whether they took a book or not. Does everybody know what a Ludlum is? You know how to make them? They're the most exotic sweet balls made of chopped raisins, dates, figs, nuts, and honey. They're the ultimate prasad sense experience. But they can be huge, like cannonballs or like little golf balls. So we would make those. Actually, they're said to be Radharani's most favorite foods. So we package these little balls in plastic bag, put a label on it, the ingredients, and an invitation to the Sunday festival. And we took them out to the streets, and then instead of people running away from us, they were running towards us after a while. They just couldn't get that taste out of their mind. And the Sunday feast became packed with people pursuing the taste they got from these sweet balls, these ludlus. If you've never tasted one, then you can't conceive. Have you tasted a good ludlu? Inconceivable. It's a lost art these days in official conscious movement how to get a good ludlu. Just hearing the ingredients, chopped dates, raisins, and nuts, and honey, and there's some kind of Indian grain or. In India, it's called bundi. You know what that is? What they call it here? You know what bundi is? It's like Rice Krispies or something.
Puff rice or something.
Yeah, something like that. Popcorn or rice. I don't know. But made so wonderfully. So in the evening during Bhagavad-Gita class, the devotees would, the cooks would bring in these big, big mountains of ludlu mix. And during the Bhagavad-Gita class, the devotees would form them into little balls, package them, staple them. And then the next day, the devotees would take them out on Sankirtan. The whole city of New York just went wild over them. After a while, people would come up to you with $10. Hey, you got three of those balls? I want some for my kids. And it made the devotees happy to go out because they knew they had something that was immediately going to be attractive. It cut through that barrier. Oh, these people have seen us so many times. They keep running away from us. It's so hard out there. Of course, the devotees ate a lot of the sweet balls themselves. But that was also a benefit of going on Sankirtan. You could, you know, you could stuff your belly with blood loose. Anyway, that's just an idea. You just have to use your intelligence how to push on the Sankirtan movement. Anything else? But I'm sure if you somehow found a way to distribute prasad like that, you would see a huge increase in your Sunday feast there. Because the way the people is through their tongue, as devotees, we may forget how powerful the tongue is. But it's there. That power is there. We tried lajus. I know you've all tasted lajus. But as Amiyama was saying, that's for the non-devotees, it's kind of an acquired taste for lajus. It's something, you know, you can't. But a ball of chopped nuts, raisins, dates, figs, and some crispy, kind of like toasted rice crispies inside, all moist. It's just, they're used to that taste, and it's just out of this world. They're used to the material taste, and when it comes as Krishna prasad, it just blows their mind. So many people became devotees at that time, just because they got one of these lovely prasad. They would follow devotees back to the temple. They just couldn't get the taste out of their mind. They would have to pursue the taste. It was the most successful preaching we did. Of course, that's been forgotten now, as when budgets get tight, you know, and you know, these things get forgotten. But just a little investment of money, and it has such an extraordinary effect. And of course, the main thing was the devotees were enlivened to go out, because they knew that, you know, they had something that immediately the non-devotees would be very attracted to. Of course, the books are all attractive, but the non-devotees don't immediately sense that. But once they taste the love food, oh, you might try something like that. You have to find someone, though, who knows the art. It's definitely a lost art. You have to experiment yourself. So, my answer to you was okay?
I just kind of looking for something a little more specific, you know.
But I'd rather not give you info specifics. You work it out with your brahmachari leader. My point is that if you can go out and just try to distribute Prabhupada's books every day, that's very glorious. So I won't, you know, I have anything to do with it, but I wouldn't quibble with you about the temperature of the water, although there's no doubt certain things are better for your consciousness. You know what I mean? But certainly your older associates in the Brahmacharya Ashram, they can work these things out with you. Naturally, gradually, as your taste for preaching and book distribution increases, you're going to want to do all those things to increase your potency. Is that okay?
Yeah. As long as I can get, you know, something more specific from the Brahmacharya leader. Okay.
Is that anything else? Yeah.
Maharaj, did the Nagas take
your attention away from distributing? No, it made it easier to distribute books. Because they look attractive. They look like a health food preparation. They look good and they taste even better. So, even if the person didn't take a book but was just nice in a conversation with you, you give them a love loop. And because you're going to be seeing these people again and again, whenever they see you, they think that wonderful taste they got, and they smile and no, it didn't attract me at all.
And
that depends on that's technique. That depends on the individual and whatever style is in vogue at the time. You know, Sangha devotees, they go through these different, you know, fashions. You know, one day you're doing it this way, then you hear, so-and-so is really big in Auckland doing it like this, and everybody switches over. And everyone's just trying their best to to get a product to receive away. He's a spiritual master.
That's clear.
So you have you're all so fortunate. You have such a nice place to preach in. And when you think life is becoming too austere for you and too difficult, then you read the knowledge and see what Prabhupada went through just to bring this movement to you. Alright, thank you very much for your enlightening association.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.